Welcome to The Farming Week, the podcast from Agriland that keeps you up to date on all the latest in Irish agriculture. I'm Megan O'Brien and I'm joined by my colleague Aisling O'Brien, and between the two of us we'll bring you up to speed on some of the biggest stories of this week. We have loads to get through today, Aisling, so we'll start off with the Irish Farmers Association's AGM, which was held on Tuesday of this week. Now, opening the AGM, it was IFA President Tim Cullinan who said that it has been a turbulent time for Irish farming of late. And of course, he referenced a number of ongoing issues that need to be dealt with. Obviously, we had Taoiseach Leo Varadkar as the keynote speaker, but Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine Charlie McConnellogue was at the event as well. He was, of course, eager to highlight the positives over the last 12 months, including the fact that Ireland has exported 16.7 billion euro worth of food last year. But junior ministers Pippa Hackett and Martin Hayden were there as well, and they all took part in a Q&A session during the event, which was quite interesting. There was a lot raised during that, and of course, we couldn't possibly go into it all, but we will touch on some of the highlights, Aisling, if you don't mind. So, first of all, we mentioned the sheep sector crisis on the podcast last week. Can you tell us, do we have any updates on that front from this event?
Yes, Megan, as you said last week on the podcast, we were joined by the Agriland Technical Sheep Specialist, Michael Geary, who outlined the financial strain that's currently on Irish sheep farmers from a combination of high input costs, but also low prices, difficult market conditions. And Chagask are forecasting that those high input costs and difficult market conditions are set to continue this year. So we've heard repeated calls from the IFA and other farming organisations for the government to step in here and to support sheep farmers. And I suppose under the new sheep improvement scheme as part of the new common agricultural policy, farmers are going to be eligible for a payment of up to 12 euro per yo, but the IFA feels that this won't be enough, and IFA sheep chair Kevin Comiskey raised this issue with the minister at the IFA AGM. And I suppose this came on hot in the heels of a very tense meeting in Athlone the night before, where sheep farmers really outlined that they were being put to the pin of their collar currently and that they needed the government to intervene. Now, Minister McConnellogue told the IFA AGM that he was willing to investigate whether or not the sheep sector would actually meet the criteria required to draw down funding from the Brexit Adjustment Reserve. That fund actually contains over €1 billion. So if the sheep sector did meet that criteria, they could access quite substantial amounts of funding to help sheep farmers through this difficult period. Now, he said that the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine was looking at all options for all sectors currently, but he did commit to exploring this option further as a way to support sheep farmers. But again, he did warn that any funding application would have to meet the criteria of the fund. And IFA President Tim Cullinan said he had no doubt in the world that it should meet the criteria because the sector has been impacted by Brexit. And Tim Cullinan also called on Bord Bia to improve their promotion of lamb in both new and existing markets as well as a way to support sheep farmers.
Okay, yeah, definitely a lot of tension on that offered up at the meeting. And the minister also brought up some details on a different topic, and that was how a dairy reduction scheme might operate if it was to be put on the table. He offered some information on that, Aisling. Will you fill us in? Because this is a hot topic.
Absolutely. And we previously spoke here on the podcast about the IFA Farming and Climate Summit that was held earlier this month. And at that summit, Minister McConnellogue confirmed that any sort of beef reduction scheme was off the table now as far as the government was concerned. Of course, that was among the recommendations from the Food Vision Beef Group that fed into the Climate Action Plan, which was published before Christmas. Mm-hmm. But he did mention at that summit that there had been support, positive support for a dairy reduction scheme. And this is something that we're looking for details on, but he said that the government are currently considering it. And it was one of the recommendations from the Food Vision Dairy Group chaired by former Chagas director Jerry Boyle. And he did say that if they were to progress with this dairy reduction scheme, it would be 2022, which would be the reference year. Now, it was interesting to note in exchanges from the floor, IFA Dairy Committee Chair Stephen Arthur told the minister that cows are already leaving dairy farms regardless of this scheme being put in place. And here's some of what he had to say.
You've always consistently says there's going to be no cow cull. Your Taoiseach and your Tánaiste have already said this. And like, Minister, I have to ask, we have to stop talking riddles here, because cows are leaving the farms now under policy. Farmers are getting hit. The nitrates is coming in. At this minute in time, excretion bans is taking cows out of herds. The policy that we're developing is destroying rural fabric.
Okay, yeah, interesting comments there from Stephen Arthur, who, of course, has been an active campaigner on, you know, the issues surrounding the dairy sector and possible herd reductions there. And of course, he was involved with the Food Vision Dairy Group as well. Also, some discussion on the day of genotyping and how beneficial that could be for Ireland, Aisling, in relation to emissions. It's been raised before, but what did McConnellogue have to say on that at the event?
Yeah, of course. I suppose genotyping, as you rightly say, it's a way to improve breeding in our national herd and as a result, more efficient animals. And it could be a good response to the climate change challenge that we're all facing. And also it'll improve traceability as well in the system, genotyping these animals from birth. Now, Charlie McConnellogue said he wants Ireland to become the first country in the world to genotype all livestock in the country. And he believes this will happen and that delivering on it will show that Ireland is more than an outpost on the edge of Europe, that we'd be leaders and pioneers, Megan, in this area. And he said that the Irish beef sector is the envy of the world. And the starting point in all of that is that the farmer who calves the cow, rears the calf, produces the weanling or store, and ultimately finishes the animal. And he said genotyping can be a huge help here. And he's considering how it might be achieved. And I suppose, obviously, funding would be a crucial part of that. And we're going to see how that plays out. But it seems something that Minister McConnellogue is very, very keen on progressing.
Absolutely. And as we mentioned, there are some comments from Stephen Arthur previously, but he did also make a comment on the genotyping on the day. And he said that farmers were willing to go ahead with genotyping, that they were ready and waiting for funding to be put on the table. So as you say, we need to see the money on this. But speaking of the IFA, and representatives of the association met with Caoilte yesterday to discuss the, we'll say, controversial deal between the state forester and the UK-based investment fund Gresham House. Now, a lot of talk around this deal and a number of concerns were raised by government ministers, but they've said that they won't be looking to interfere with the deal going ahead. But the public doesn't seem content with that, Aisling. There's still quite a bit of tension out there, as I understand it.
Absolutely, Megan. This controversy is going absolutely nowhere. Thursday, there is actually a protest happening outside the gates of Leinster House, and a newly formed alliance is behind that demonstration. They're called the Save Our Forest, Save Our Land Alliance, and they believe that this deal between Caoilte and Gresham House amounts to public grants and funds being used to facilitate a corporate takeover of huge swathes of land and forestry. And they claim, like many others have done, that this will impact on small farmers, on rural communities as well. And they feel that it will also progress what they feel is the failed Sitka spruce industrial model of forestry that they feel is damaging biodiversity, water and soil quality. So the new alliance have also launched a national petition. They demand that the government abandons this deal because, of course, the state is a shareholder in the Simi State Agency. They've also called for a radical reform of Caoilte and to develop a new sustainable forestry model. Now, the controversial deal is the subject of Dáil proceedings. A special debate was called for by People Before Profit Solidarity TD Richard Boyd Barrett. He's also part of this newly formed alliance. And the Irish Wildlife Trust said that it cannot be left to private for-profit interests to address the climate and biodiversity crisis. And they said that changes to land use can only deliver long-term benefits if they have the support of local communities. Now, Agriland journalist Rubina Freiberg went along to the protest outside Leinster House and she spoke with independent Galway East TD Sean Canny.
What has happened is that this whole thing about bringing in voucher funds and selling off state land to foreign investors is destroying the whole concept of having climate action and climate change in Ireland. I think the best keepers of the environment are our farmers. And if they're allowed to do a bit of forestry and do it in a way and allowed to buy the land that might come free, rather than having voucher funds coming in, driving up the cost of land. And secondly, it's making it's very hard for farmers who want to increase their acreage. They cannot compete with these prices. And basically what we're having is, what you see down in Leitrim, which I've seen, is devastation. It's actually turning a county into a place that is virtually like nighttime all the time, and it's imprisoning in farmers who are trying to do their work. They're surrounded by huge Sika spruce forests, and basically it's actually detrimental to the environment, to our wildlife, and also to the farming.
So that's Independent Galway East TD Sean Canny there speaking at that protest being held outside the Dáil on Wednesday before the Joint Oireachtas Committee for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Minister Charlie McConlogue and Minister of State at the department with responsibility for forestry, Pippa Hackett, were addressing members of the committee. And Charlie McConlogue confirmed that Caoilte has sought permission to invest €10 million in this controversial Irish Strategic Forestry Fund being established as part of this deal with Gresham House. That request is currently being considered, and interesting to note that the minister said that he was only aware of this deal when it was done and he'd been first notified about it in December. So and he also said, along with Minister Hackett, that it was not their preferred option in terms of afforestation, and their preferred option would be for farmers to plant forestry on their own land.
Yeah, it's very interesting, Aisling. There's a lot going on around this, and sometimes it can feel that there's so many different things being said that it's hard to know what exactly the process was around how this deal came to be. I suppose another forestry issue appeared this week, separate to the Gresham House Caoilte deal. Minister Pippa Hackett speaking during commencement proceedings in the Seanad this week, and in response to questions from Senator Victor Boyhin, she did confirm that actually Ireland has still to submit its final application for state aid approval on the National Forestry Programme to the EU Commission, and indeed the programme cannot actually come into effect until that state aid is given. And following up to another question from Senator Boyhin, she did admit that this process can actually take up to 8 months. So look, a lot going on in the forestry sector there. And of course, we will continue to cover all of those developments over on our website on agriland.ie. But we'll move on for now, because another topic that our farmers are always interested in, Aisling, is TB and the regulations around testing for that. Now, Aisling, the waters may have been a bit murky for a while around this, so you might clarify things for us here, because no doubt some of our listeners are as confused as I am on this. What are the new requirements and when are they coming into play?
Yes, Megan. So I suppose to bring some clarity to this, under the new regulations from the Department of Agriculture, cattle over the age of 36 months that are going to be moved from farm to farm or through a mart will have to have been TB tested in the previous 6 months, or then be tested within 30 days of the movement if they haven't been tested in the preceding 6 months, if you're still with me. Now, that regulation will come into effect next Wednesday. That's February 1st. So I suppose a lot of farmers are concerned, how will this impact them if they're bringing animals to the mart? And I suppose the important thing to say is that farming organisations and the Irish Cooperative Organisation Society, ICOS, have come out and said that cattle covered by a valid herd test will be permitted to be traded at marts under the new regulations. And I suppose it's essentially the buyers that may be impacted more than the sellers here. So ICOS has said that only animals that originate from a herd that has not been tested within the last 6 months, or an animal itself not having had a TB test within the last 6 months, will require this post-movement testing. So ICOS says in these specific circumstances, anyone who has bought cattle will subsequently then be notified of any additional post-movement testing requirements directly from the Department of Agriculture. So farmers are guaranteed of their sale day at the mart, Megan. That's the important thing. There's going to be no disruption to buying or selling activity caused by these new rules. If your herd has been tested in the last 6 months, including the animal that you're selling, then additional testing will not be necessary. And ICOS said that the majority of animals being brought to marts should satisfy the required time intervals and therefore should not need any additional testing. I suppose interesting to note as well that there has been an ongoing row essentially between farming organisations and the department about who's going to pay for these additional standalone tests where they do occur. And the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association, the ICA, they've said that they're not going to accept any of these new movement rules unless the Department of Agriculture fully covers the cost for farmers here, because of course it will be an additional cost if the animal bought does not meet the requirements. And I suppose the impact, if you're buying these animals for slaughter and that you're planning to slaughter them within 30 days of buying them, and they may not have had their TB test in the preceding 6 months, then it won't impact you. But if you are buying breeding stock, so if you're buying an animal over the age of 36 months for the purpose of breeding and keeping them beyond that 30-day limit, then this is going to impact you. So who's going to pay for that standalone test? And that seems to be the bone of contention at the moment. And it seems, as things stand right now, it looks like the farmer is going to have to cover the cost.
Yeah, look, going back to the IFA AGM, that was another issue that was raised at the event, Aisling. And this idea of who's going to cover the cost does seem to be a really big sticking point for numerous farm organisations. And as you said, for now, it remains to be seen. But look, an important date to flag for farmers, that is next Wednesday, the 1st of February, that those changes come into effect. Thanks for that, Aisling. Look, some movement also this week among processors, and that's in relation to Don Meat's move to buy Kildare Chilling. This is getting a lot of interest on our website, Aisling. Do we have any more details on this? Because it's definitely one that I think has been picked up by farmers. They're quite interested in it at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose this all comes back to competition in the meat processing sector and how that's going to impact farmers. You know, I mean, obviously less choice, farmers feel that it wouldn't be a good thing for them. Kildare Chilling, Megan, it's one of the main sheep processors in this country. It's accounting for about a fifth of the national sheep throughput at the moment, and its plant is located in Kildare town. And their slaughter halls have the capacity to process 120,000 cattle and 500,000 lambs each year. So it's a significant operation. Yeah, it definitely is. And as you said, this week it has emerged that Dawn Meats is set to purchase Kildare Chilling. Now, the deal hasn't been formally announced just yet, but Agriland understands that is expected imminently. Now, a deal such as this, like anything that would affect the market, will have to go through statutory checks by the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, the CCPC, before being finalised. Now, Dawn Meats itself, it processes 300,000 tonnes of meat per year. 1 million cattle, 3 million sheep annually. So a major player in the Irish market. They currently have 10 sites in the country and have a turnover of over 2 billion euro. So
wow.
A major player. And I suppose the fact that Kildare Chilling is a standalone plant, that has led to concerns about how it will impact competition in the market. And the IFA has come out today and said that the CCPC will have to thoroughly examine this deal and how it might impact the cattle and sheep processing sector and the competition within that sector. And IFA President Tim Colnan saying that, you know, if there isn't going to be maximum competition, any new venture that impacts on maximum competition will have to be rejected. So it'll be interesting to see what the CCPC's ruling on that is and if the deal does indeed proceed.
Yeah, of course, more details will be to come, I'm sure, on that. And when we'll get them, of course, they will be covered over on our website. All right, Aisling, as you and I both know, we're into calving season now. And I found this story particularly interesting this week. That was the move by global dairy co-op Fonterra to ban the slaughter of male or non-dairy calves unless it's for a humane reason. And instead, they must be used for either a meat or a pet food chain purpose. On top of that, then, we're going to see this kicking off in June of 2023, which is not that far away. We're nearly into February now. Can you tell us about this? Why have they made this move, first of all?
Yeah, well, Fonterra, it's a name that's very familiar to many Irish farmers, particularly the dairy side of the house, a major player on the global dairy markets, the sixth largest dairy company actually in the world and the biggest in the southern hemisphere. It's owned by 9,000 New Zealand farmers and it's responsible for about 30% of the world's dairy exports with revenue exceeding 22 billion New Zealand dollars. So a major player. So when they come out with a statement like this, people do sit up and take note as well. So as you said, in this update issued by the co-op, they've told farmers that from June of this year, male or non-dairy calves must be used for other purposes such as meat or pet food, and that they must be reared for beef or calf veal or pet food, and that they cannot be slaughtered on farm. And they've noted that consumers in New Zealand and around the world are increasingly looking for more assurances about the quality of life experienced by the animals who produce their food. And the slaughtering of male or bobby calves, as they're referred to in New Zealand, Megan, it's come under the spotlight in recent years. And it's something that really comes back to the social license to farm and, you know, the consumer not being happy about very young calves being slaughtered on farm. And Fonterra did say that they understand that the options for sale for some farmers in some parts of New Zealand would be limited, and that they are going to collaborate with the industry on research and development. And they're also going to explore longer term solutions such as dairy beef partnerships and different opportunities like this. And I suppose bringing it back to Ireland, we've had our own issue here, of course, with calf slaughtering. Only last September, the Department of Agriculture wrote to some farmers urging them to move away from the slaughter of young male calves. And that letter was sent, we covered it last year on the podcast in quite some detail, actually, by the calf holder stake. And that letter, we covered it last year in quite some detail, Megan, was sent in conjunction with the Calf Stakeholder Forum. And their membership includes farming organisations, dairy industry groups, research advisory bodies, and the department themselves. And farmers have been asked to find new markets for these calves, Megan, and stop the practice of sending calves for slaughter, because between January and the end of May in 2022, 29,802 calves under the age of 6 months were sent for slaughter in Ireland, which is something that the general public would not be in favour of and wouldn't go down well with the general public. So it's something that the industry has been looking at in quite some detail. And ICOS, who we were talking about just a second ago, they've developed a calf welfare scheme in collaboration with stakeholders in the industry and co-ops as well. And that charter that they've, a charter is part of that, and they deal with on-farm euthanasia of healthy calves being prohibited. And they said that the charter has been recently sent out to co-ops for their consideration, and it's been strongly endorsed. But of course, the terms of these kind of charters will take time and support to implement because of the long-term nature of breeding cycles on dairy farms as well. Changes can't just be made overnight as well. But they do say that there is a responsibility on all stakeholders in the dairy industry to develop a sustainable supply chain for quality dairy calves as well. Something we've spoken about before, and I suppose, as you rightly say, interesting now that calves are hitting the ground on our spring calving herds out there at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly are. And, you know, it is just an interesting story because, as you quite rightly said, that letter was a big story for AgriLand when we covered it. And, you know, some might say that that social awareness now, just you just can't get away with things like this anymore. And that this move by Fonterra may be the way that things are going. So look, and then moving on to kind of the fallout from this, you know, what could it be? I suppose we might see a surplus of livestock there and a need for new markets then. And of course, I was speaking to our technical dairy specialist, Brian McDonald, during the week when this story broke. And, you know, questions arising around how this move could possibly affect Ireland's foreign market operations. You know, I suppose New Zealand is closer to China than we are at the end of the day, and definitely questions to be answered around that. But an interesting move by Fonterra nonetheless. Look, Aisling, unfortunately, that is all we have time for this week. But thanks for joining me, and to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. We will, of course, be back next Friday with another episode of The Farming Week. But until then, don't forget to rate, review and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks very much, and see you next week.